SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Saratoga Racecourse, for the first time in 22 months, with an audience, with a backyard, and with a racetrack full of, when I tell you, ebullient faces and smiles and greetings and a... Kim Dutrow, an atmosphere that, as anticipated, just as joyous as you could possibly imagine. And I know some of you probably won't be here until August. Some of you might not come until Labor Day weekend. And whatever, whenever you're here, it's going to be that same Saratoga atmosphere with, you know, with a twist and with a special frosting on it. Just amazing. Because people are seeing each other in some cases for the first time in 2 years or longer, because, you know, there's never a guarantee, you know, that everybody that, you know, comes on typically certain weeks and weekends are going to be there. So it just shows you how much everybody treasures not just the facility and the racing and, you know, the opportunity to get away, whether it's for a day or whether it's for 40 days. It just doesn't dim. And last year it had, you know, a sadness, obviously, a tinge to it, given, you know, the pervading health crisis. And I was thinking, coming in this morning, you realize how dedicated everybody has been to, you know, last year to even have any kind of a season, but also to create a framework that is as if, you know, nothing has happened. It's amazing. You walking in, there's just really at this point, I would say, the aftermath, some of the signage from distancing and so forth. But there is nothing but faces that you can see from forehead to chin, essentially. And then, of course, we're going to fold in the racing. We've got three cards set. You fold in everything else that's happening, including opening day tomorrow at Del Mar. And we'll talk tomorrow. First thing, we'll be at Monmouth, of course, for Haskell Day. We'll talk about the Haskell card and the way that got drawn yesterday. And it's very good. But we'll talk to Brad Free tomorrow morning to set the stage for Del Mar's opening day. They also drew Colonial for Monday, and if you thought that handicapping, 12-horse turf races here was going to be tough, just a series of 14-horse fields and 12-horse fields and Colonial on Monday, if you're still standing by Monday morning after, these next 96 hours, you better be ready to turn around and dive into Colonial. So the proverbial embarrassment of riches for horse players and for fans and for management teams and everybody involved. So the main course is here. And let me officially say Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website as well, stevebick.com. The news that also has got to be covered and discussed came late yesterday afternoon. And I don't know, you know, the immediate impact of Judge Carol Bagley Amon's injunction to allow Bob Baffert to run if he chooses. And you know, there's certainly races. You think about Gamin for the ballerina, and you know, whatever 3-year-old might be ready for any assignment, short and long, you know, leading up toward the Alan Jerkins and the Travers. But Bob Baffert able to participate in New York for now. And anybody that listened before we went on vacation, anybody that listened to Alan Foreman, Alan could not have read the tea leaves, the legal tea leaves, as it were. He could not have read them any better and more, you know, more correctly, essentially. He told you exactly what the judge was going to be faced with and why it was overwhelmingly likely that Baffert would get injunctive relief. So that's the, you know, the news going into the meet, and in fact, it came, you know, 24 hours ahead of what had been the anticipated judge's decision, and accompanying, you know, literally, you know, within an hour of the announcement from the court, had a I would say a measured response from the association. And essentially, Dave O'Rourke, I thought, you know, set the, you know, the right tone when he said, you know, that he understood the, you know, the court's position, and he appreciated the court upholding Naira's authority for exclusion, but also clearly accepted that if Bob Baffert wants to run, he can. And he said, we expect Mr. Baffert to exert appropriate controls over his operation. And I thought the line, what is clear is that Mr. Baffert's actions and behavior can either elevate or damage the sport. And I certainly would imagine that given everything that's gone on, and there's other, you know, there's other shoes to drop, clearly, yet in this, you know, in the legal maneuverings. But it would have been nice to have had those controls over the operation exerted when promised last fall. And none of this, I mean, that to me, that's been the, you know, the most deflating and just exasperating part. None of this had to happen. And if, you know, everything was carefully and correctly administered. So there's the latest, and we'll see. Dave Greinich's going to be here in a little bit. He's watching some works. We're going to have Seth Merrow come over. Seth, actually, kind of shockingly, I got a schedule that has Seth doing OTB TV Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so we'll get a chance, actually, to have Seth sit to open the morning and open the season, which we'll look forward to, actually. And, in fact, we should have also, oh, I've got to get to Clancy too. We're hoping to get Clancy to get him to swing by. So Dick Powell too, we'll talk to Dick. And I think Ron Anderson is going to swing by, came by earlier, and Ron's probably as happy as any horse player or fan. He sits up his chair right here, right between the administration building and the racing office, and That's where he holds court. So we'll get Ron in here too for some early season impressions. And certainly, if you look at these first 3 days of racing, John Velasquez and Joel Rosario, his pairing, the two of them would should get off to a strong start to the meet. And on that front, in fact, we'll talk after scratches to get some other opinions. I've got the analysis up at the website pre-scratch, and some plays. And I thought that that late sequence, the pick five, pick four sequence, it feels to me like favorites are going to dominate. And you know, we had the conversation with Nick yesterday too. I think Nick was in that same frame of mind. And I did something that I don't often do, actually. I kind of heavied up the increment and suggested, you know, some you know, heavy multiples. So we'll see if there's any impact from scratches. And as the morning goes on, we'll get to some plays. Let me quickly get yesterday's follow-up and results in from Canterbury and Indiana as well, given our conversations with Jeff Madej and with Bill Downs. And at Canterbury last night, it was pretty formful, and you had Mac Robertson. He won two out of the four. He didn't go 4 for 4, but Mac, that turf distaff, ready to runway, who actually went off his second choice, Clickbait, went favored at 6-5, but ready to runway, a first dude mare for owner John Mentz. You also had in the Ralph Strangis, Cinco Star, who did go favored, a little under 3-2. This is the 3 hour nap veteran gelding for Mac and John Mentz. So a nice stakes double for them. Earlier, you had Star of the North at a very short price for Francisco Bravo and owner Mike Grossman. Win the Mrs. Genter, and in the Victor Myers, the Alligator Hunter at 3-5 too. So that was Tim Padilla and owners with the partner Peter Mattson, and they bred this overanalyzed 3-year-old and was one with authority. So that was the Canterbury action last night. And in Indiana, you ended up the second stake. I'll get to it in a second, but the early. The first of the two, the snack, Trouble Justice at 3-5, and Sammy Bermuda's, riding a 3-5 shot like he should, Justice Farm. And, in fact, the Justice team bred both of the winners. Trouble Justice, 3-20 in the snack. And then in the Ellen's Lucky Star, I thought when I pulled the race up and I went to bet, because I wanted to bet that Swift Temple. And when it must have been about 9 minutes to post when I went back and looked, and Swift Temple was 33-1. I said, well, we're diving in here head first. And Swift Temple ran terrific, ended up going off at 23-1. So there was a win bet. There was a kind of a back wheel with some logicals, and then there was that reverse tri-key that we talk about. And I said, this is a horse that really, you know, feels like a, you know, closing sprinter type, stretching out to a mile, felt like a horse that would maybe pick up a share. Well, he was vying to be second. It was obvious that Voodoo Justice, you know, was being ridden wire to wire. Under Orlando Mojica, that for Antonio Duran and Rancho Monarca. I just needed Swift Temple to be second, because 16-1, 17-1, Tapernia, Tapernia. I did not include in the try ticket. I was a little nauseous. Triple pays 4.47 for 50 cents, and I that Tapernia, the Hennig team, going by in the cart. So I ended up with nothing. I was not happy, but I wasn't unhappy with the try that we got from from Swift Temple. That was a good effort. So that was yesterday's focus, the midweek, and now we turn our attention to what went on in the racing offices. And let's start actually with Monmouth. And tomorrow, obviously, we'll dive in, and I'll certainly handicap on the drive down. After today, we'll stay a little bit, but we've got to head down to Monmouth. And there is also corollary, I guess, to today's activities. It's Tina's birthday. So birthday Barbie. And so Tina, I can't make all the I can't make it all racing all day at night today. But we're heading down to the shore, and we'll come to you from Monmouth Park tomorrow before Haskell. And the day that John Himes' racing office put together is certainly going to be a treat. And now we just have to kind of, I think, sweat out the weather a little bit in Oceanport. I didn't check this morning, actually, but it looked like we were in for, some rain. yeah, no, you, come, you. Well, I got a chance to talk to you. Come here. It's always great to get a first guest. You got 2 minutes?
Yes.
Sit down. All right. You never know who the pop-up guests are going to be. That's one of the beauties of being here. And the first guest of the Saratoga season, Javier Castellano. Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much.
Got to be excited, and you can just leave it there. That's fine. It picks you up. He's going to talk. He's coming in for a license. He's going to see Lou or a parking pass. Everybody is kind of rushing for their for the last minute arrangements. But we'll check in with Javi, and I'm glad to see him. I have not talked to him in ages. I did not see much of him during the winter and spring run. And we'll also take a peek at how he's mounted. And you ready?
Yes, I am. I'm working, Steve. You know how it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
People, they come to the race to have fun. People, they come to the race to put the show for everybody else.
Well, and, for you, this has always been, not that every venue you compete, whether it's down in Florida in the winter or, the New York circuit, this has been a special environment for you, and nobody wins more Travers than you.
Yeah, very lucky, very fortunate to be in that spot, to win 6 Travers, I didn't realize it. After you fought, you go through, I'm very lucky, for sure. A lot of support, a lot of training, a lot of owners, they give me opportunity to ride the best horses in the ground, and I think it was in the right time, the right place.
Hey, talk a little bit about, what feels like, I don't want to call it a restart, but you've got new representation, and it feels like, you're trying to kind of regain some momentum.
Absolutely. This game is in very... very competitive. We have a lot of tough colony in the country. We have the best jockey in the country, and a lot of new generation, new jockeys, and new apprentices, and everybody, they put it together. And it's about momentum, I think, last year, we missed a lot of part of it, and now we got to regroup and go back to fight another war.
Give us an idea about, just looking at the mounts. In fact, I was talking about, you know, who might get off to real fast starts. And, boy, you're kind of riding for a huge variety. And, in fact, here opening day, Claseris, Margada, McPeak, and Ferraro. And it's actually a very interesting, you got an interesting set of mounts. And that includes a horse in that maiden fifth, those two-year-old fillies, the second division. You're on a horse that I ended up throwing in underneath for Anthony Margada Jr., this Rollin' and Controllin', and there's some hints that that horse might have some talent.
Yeah, we tried. I think I never have a chance to ride before, but seeing to the past perform, they have a great, great perform. And now we want to try in the turf. I think that's the right time to go for. I think maybe we have a lot of chance to hopefully we can win the race.
You've got, looking ahead actually to tomorrow too, that Forbidden Apple. We talked yesterday with Nick Tamaro, and the Forbidden Apple is as tough top to bottom, Javier, as any race we're going to see. I haven't looked closely at the Diana yet that was drawn, and you are in the Diana with Magic Attitude for Arnaud Delacour, but Therapist for Christophe, and you know, one of the real considerations tomorrow in the stake.
Yeah, you know, it's a cool horse. I think the last time I rode it was November 15th in Aqueduct. He gave me good run and came from all the way in the back and finished very strong, very talented horse, and I like the way he did it. For the Diana, I really like that filly. That filly is Arnaud Delacour, Magic Attitude, and that filly, she first time in the country last year, I rode it, and she won grade one. I think she's a really good filly. I hope you're looking forward for Saturday too, also as well.
You've also, looking ahead really kind of at the meet in general, search results coming out of that Acorn win and the test, which already appears that it's going to be one of the real highlights of the season. Talk about her and the Acorn win.
She's really good. I mean, she I rode it here in Belmont. I like the way she did it, you know, and I have the opportunity to ride the first time in Aqueduct. And very impressive, very talented horse. I really like the way she does, and I think nothing wrong with you when you ride one of the top trains in the country, Chad Brown. I think in the right time, in the right place.
You know, the other day, going back to last weekend, I also want to ask you about Estilo Talentoso, who got beaten the Princess Rooney, but going back to it, it feels like, you know, she's going to be a serious player amongst these three-year-olds coming out of the race at Pimlico. Some thoughts about her, and I suppose you're right. You can't. I'm just thinking. She's. I guess she would probably. What would she look for? Maybe the ballerina. I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. See, I'm the pilot. That's the reason I have an agent. He set it up all the schedule, and I go from there.
I love it. Who else are you excited about? No problem. Who else are you excited about this year?
Absolutely.
Javier.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
You got
for the
it.
Opportunity.
Javier Castellano, and getting called away to get on a couple yet. It's about 9:20. There's probably a few. Yeah, there's probably a few. Well, the rest of his. He's got a big Saturday. I mean, he's kind of wading into the action, I guess, probably the best way to say it. He's only got four today, and then he's going to build up to how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's in every race except he's in every race Saturday except the ninth. So. And a real mix. He's riding for Bobby Roboto, Tally Lynch, Diodoro, Chad. Rides three for Chad, actually, because he's got deferred taxes in that Nightcap, the maiden special. He's on Crowded Trade in the allowance, and Grape Nuts Warrior in the allowance. Fourth, Maker, McPeak, Falcone, and as mentioned, Magic Attitude for Arnaud Delacour in the Diana. All right, back to Haskell, and you know, one thing that we should mention, you know, in terms of Saratoga riders that are going down to the shore, should know. And that's going to be a story tomorrow morning, certainly, we'll have to discuss and we'll get into, which is how are riders coming from out of town, how are they going to deal with the crop? And, you know, part of that story might be answered a little bit in this steward session tomorrow. And that, you know, whatever ruling or, you know, whatever comments come out of the meeting with Carlos Montalvo from his ride in the first on Sunday, where he used the crop and is going to defend himself by saying that it was, you know, for safety reasons with the horse getting out. So we'll see how that plays tomorrow and if it has any influence on how the jocks coming in from out of town, how they deal with the rules down there. So that will be an unavoidable discussion certainly tomorrow and then as part of the racing. Let's give you the rundown on the Haskell and ended up with a 7-horse field led by Following C. And, of course, Todd Pletcher is going to send Following C out and Joel Rosario going down. It's one of the reasons we are looking forward to a visit with Ron Anderson, too, and see what Ron's thoughts are on this topic. Following C. From the one hole, Anti-Gravity, Jerry Hollendorfer and Davey Cohen. In the two, Mandaloon from the three hole with Florent Giroux for Brad Cox. Hot Rod Charlie, your favorite, Doug O'Neill, Flavian Pratt from the four hole. Pick and Time, the Kelly Breen. And when we talked last to Kelly, he was indicating that Haskell coming out of the prep. Roseland Farm Stable, Nick Juarez from the five hole, Midnight Bourbon, and Midnight Bourbon, of course, a lot of us are you know, we're looking to get some money back if we can from the six hole, and Beso for Greg Sacco from the seven. There's your 7-horse field for the Haskell. Dave O'Rourke, do you want to sit for a minute? Kind of a unique opportunity to discuss with you. You can just leave that. Don't even have to pick it up. Dave O'Rourke joins us on opening day. Good morning.
A little rough to wear.
Well, and I haven't even discussed apparently you know, last night's town. What went on in town? I guess I it's not a priority.
I'm not even.
I guess the protesting.
Really? Actually, I've been so focused on this.
That's what I some people told me about it when I walked in. Anyway, it's a Chamber of Commerce day, even with a little mist and a little cloud. It's just I opened the show, Dave, by just saying the glee in people's eyes. And that extends to the staff. I mean, everybody, everywhere you go on the racetrack.
Just happy to be back.
Yeah. Just a relief. You know, there's a happiness here that's just obvious.
I mean, Saratoga.
there you go.
We were denied for a year. So, like, you know, every year there's this pent up, you know, feeling. You know, excitement, really. It's the right word for it. But now you've got 2 years worth of it, so... Here we go. Like racing looks good. Weather's good next 2 days. Hopefully, you have a better forecast for the weekend than it looks right now. But we'll take it. Any which way, we'll take it.
Well, we'll talk about all the other positives and the numbers that came out yesterday from Belmont's season in a second. You had to react, of course, last night to the judge's ruling. You want to expand on? I thought what you said was just appropriate. You'll deal with this ruling, but that the onus is on Baffert to, you know, really live up to the promises that he's made about running the operation.
Yeah, that's the expectation, and you know, that judgment's 28 pages, so we're still going through it. There's a lot of key issues there that were brought up, and one was, you know, whether or not we even had the right to exclude. And the judge seemed pretty clear that we do. and just some issues with the process. So we're going to re-examine it and huddle back up, and you know, we'll have more to say about this in the coming days, I think.
Well, and I'm sure in the meantime, I don't know how many. It's not as if Bob Baffert keeps a string here, and you know, he's got the occasional steak horse that you know, the steak days are what his focus. And I would assume a 3-year-old and Gamine for the ballerina, but it's you know, maybe a couple of 3-year-olds. And clearly, with many other miles to go on KHRC's dealing, you know, with the positive and with a ruling, I mean, I assume you've got leeway and you know, we'll revisit it when there's officially a ruling against him, if that's the way it's going to come down.
Yeah, it's to be determined on exactly what we do next. You know, Bob's he's not necessarily a New York trainer. He does
right.
come in for some big races, like you said. But, you know, we're focused on our business and what's going on at hand. He doesn't have any horses in at the moment. You know, obviously he's free to enter going forward at the moment. But, yeah, we're supposed to focus on the card in front of
exactly.
us.
Exactly. I mean, that and at the same time, it is kind of a relief that they got this done before the start, and it wasn't something that was going to drag into the season either.
Yeah, it's unnecessary distractions.
Exactly. Well, the game, the industry and the game will provide its share of unnecessary distractions, to say the least. You talk about the Belmont news and you know, the big spring, early summer action that you have to be very pleased with.
Yeah, Belmont weather cooperated, turned out really well. Gave us the opportunity to invite fans back and, you know, get back used to operating under normal circumstances. You know, it took a year off to kickstart an operation like this on the front side. It's, you know, I got to give credit to the facilities and ops teams because they've done a great job. We're open today. It should be great. We got a new food vendor here, Levy. We had some samples and tastings yesterday. The food's going to be pretty good.
Out of Chicago and yeah. Do a fabulous job.
So, you know, I think everything's going to be elevated a little bit. And then we've got a couple of new offerings like the spa veranda, tailgate at the turn.
Yep.
Kind of on the casual side, because, you know, last time we 19, it was all about 1863, which is, you might say, the upper end. So to balance it out, we finally got rid of the paddock tent. Been trying to do that for 7-8 years. Probably the year after it showed up.
Yeah.
So there's more space around, so people can get close to the horses. Yeah, so far so good. How are you feeling with it?
Everything is in place for just what should be a runaway success. I mean, the weather we can't control. So, you know, turf racing, as much turf racing as possible. Good for the handle, good for the horses. You know, it's got all positives. But the facility looks great. One thing I will ask you, given a nationwide labor shortage, how difficult was it to fill out positions?
Recruiting is a challenge, but as you mentioned, you just turn on any CNBC. It's a challenge for everyone.
Exactly.
You have to adapt a little bit. I mean, we're staffed to what we need. Up here, it's a little funny. You get like a high attrition rate first few weeks, so we'll see how that plays out. Certain things I think people have gotten used to, though, like QR codes. Like, that was almost a dead technology a few years ago. I remember when they came out, they were putting them everywhere and never used them. And now, all of a sudden, everybody knows how to use one.
That's
how you get a menu.
That's pretty funny.
So one of the conversations yesterday were, you changed the menus, you had to print them, and then you got to hand them out. Well, does everyone really want a menu? So little things like that, I think you'll see more self-service to a certain degree. And I think people are used to that. And once you get used to it, you don't really go back. So we'll see how this works out. But we're fine in terms of
good
staffing levels for now.
Good. Well, and I said something, and I wasn't sure if I was going to see you this morning or we were going to save a conversation for down the road. But one thing that I had to include was, you know, the state's role in being able to have seemingly I mean, I think I've seen one mask all day. It gates open, atmosphere open. We've been very fortunate that people have vaccinated to the extent they have in New York and in the region, and it just allows for one, you know, less restriction and you know, and difficulty to hurdle.
What they've done in New York over the last year is nothing short of phenomenal. I mean, they're about to have the Olympics over in Japan, and I think they're at like 15%.
Yeah.
So, you know, the governor said we hit 70%, we'll open the state up, and we did.
Yeah.
So, hats off. And for sure, you know, we were here. It wasn't easy. The deployment to get that done was phenomenal.
Now, and it provides the scenario that we're encountering this morning. One report I have not seen, things like advance ticket sales and dining reservations. What's your status?
They're strong. They were tracking to 19 last time I took a look about a week ago, and that's impressive given that the amount of time they've actually been on sale.
That's so true, because you had a little bit of a late start. That's right.
It's strong. We're open on Thursday. It's only the second time I think we've done this in terms of, I think 19 was the last time. It was usually on Friday before that, I believe.
Yeah.
So apples to apples. We'll be tracking against 19, obviously. We'll see how it plays out. A lot of people are calling for records. I'll just take a nice, safe, fun meet with some good racing.
That's all
you want. And the numbers will come.
Exactly.
You know, you can't set a record every year. I mean, I probably would bet the over this year on a lot of things, but it's still new. Like, as funny as it sounds, normal's a little new right now.
And you don't. What we don't know is how much travel, how many far-flung racegoers that, you know, that typically pilgrimage here for a visit.
Yeah.
Whether it's for the meet, a week, 2 weeks, a weekend, we just don't know how much of that you're going to get.
Just walking around, a lot of people from Connecticut, Massachusetts. So people are getting in their cars, and you know, your point, what about the planes? See, I mean, if you speak to the people, like the hoteliers and the restaurateurs, they're booked in town.
Good.
So,
well, that's encouraging.
And they're booked out into August. So this is... all indications are strong.
Well, everybody has rallied to the cause, and I think after some initial misplaced concerns that people had that there would still be restrictions, and then you're not going to be able to bring food and beverage, you're not going to be able to. I think after all those questions were answered, we've got now you know, people that can't wait to get going.
You're really in a good spot.
I love this.
Because you've got the shoe show. Like, you see everyone.
I do.
It's a really strategic location.
It is. It's a kind of a pop-up. It's kind of a pop-up stand. You know, over the years, for years, I did it by the barbecue, which we had. And that was behind the carousel. But that was 4 to 7. And that was good because horsemen would be walking by to and from running horses.
Yeah.
And I would grab them either before a race or coming back from a race. And then we tried a couple of other spots, but then this, when Donnie Tom dropped this wire, and I, you know what, under the over, after some rain, I used to do a pop-up tent. It's great.
This is perfect.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, you get trainers, there's Gargan and Kieran McLaughlin booking mounts for Luis Saez, and you know, the administration building, you guys coming back and forth, and talk about actually while we got a second, you know, between Martin and Glenn Kozak, and you know, everybody that
I got a strong team here.
Yeah, exactly.
They make me look good. Like that's the one thing I'd say about those guys.
How much, you know, one thing we haven't talked about in the time that you know you've been at the helm. You know, you're a numbers guy and
finance guy background.
So, you know, and that obviously, I mean, is key to everything. But what part of the job and part of, you know, learning other areas or having other, you know, departments report to you?
Yeah.
What has been either a surprise to you or something that you've you know, you've really taken a more of an interest in than you expected. Talk about your own, you know, personal growth, as it were.
I came in after graduate school. I was a financial consultant.
Yeah.
A forum called restructuring. You go into companies and you kind of help rewrite business plans. Sometimes you sell off assets. And, you know, NAIRA's in bankruptcy. So they brought in our firm, the firm I was working for at the time, to work on the business plan going forward, coming out. And I got a good feel for the economics, but at 10,000 feet. And they offered me a job. You know, as soon as you come up to Saratoga, it's hard. You're not going to say no to a job here. And I was focused on the simulcasting wagering side because that was the most natural. I was a trader programmer before my graduate school. So I gravitated towards that. You know, Andy Serling was actually.
Exactly.
So that simulcasting content wagering, I kind of grew up on that side. And then I moved into corporate development, technology background a little bit. And television more on the plumbing side of the TV, trying to get HD distributed. But since I've become president, I've had now an opportunity to learn more about the racing side of the business.
Exactly.
And you know, Kozak and I came in at the same time, but we had completely different roles. But we've interacted. My entire career here has been dovetailed with his. So as I got into this position, I got a little closer to, all right, so what are we doing with the services? What's the long-term plan? So you've seen us change them out. You know, most of our tracks are new.
That's right.
And Belmont's kind of the next big focus for us. And then with Martin, you know, understanding the strategy, how, you know, we're big. New York racing is important to us, and it's our backbone for the New York Road program. But how do we fit into the international scene? What's our advantage? What are our strengths? Turf. One of our biggest strengths.
No doubt.
How many courses we have, and how he's evolved the program in that direction. And then with Joe Applebaum and NYTHA,
right?
And he's been a great. And then Rick, I've known for years, and Joe's been a great partner. And understanding the economics from the horseman side, where you have big trainers, small trainers, their needs can be different, and their challenges are different. And for me, going back to where I came from in consulting, you'd go into a company and try and understand it holistically as much as you could. And I've now had so much exposure here. There's always something new.
You know,
there's literally always something new. And it's fun. And it keeps the challenge up.
In your experience, I'm curious, because one thing that popped in my head to as a follow, you've got supervision. And tentacles reaching in from the state, from a board of trustees, from all these different areas, and to some extent, it's a very unusual, you know, even before the franchise renewal and everything that came out of that.
Yeah,
this was always a quasi, you know, public, private, it was nonprofit, continues to be nonprofit, but it's an unusual entity, and it's a business like no other. And so when people are aghast at some of the miscues and some of the frustrations that the industry faces, one thing that needs to be constantly reminded is that this is like four different industries. It's a circus. I mean, it's got live animals involved.
Yeah, we move around like carnival.
Exactly. It's got a million moving parts. It's got an unbelievable number of stakeholders involved. It has wagering. It has gaming at its core. And
so you're focusing on the complexity of it.
Yes.
Well,
and
turn it into a strength.
Good luck.
I mean, we are private.
Yeah.
And we're basically entrusted or trustee of thoroughbred racing for the three New York tracks. And that, if you think of it, the mission's very, very simple and straightforward. Protect racing and do everything you can to have the industry flourish in New York. So the fact that, you know, we do interact quite a bit with the state, well, that's a strength. I mean, going through COVID, we were able to open two vaccination centers downstate.
Right.
So that's a positive. you know, our board is beyond a positive with the background, the business backgrounds, the racing backgrounds that comes with, and the guidance that they're able to give to us. So that's big. And we have an entire community behind us. We are a city within ourselves. Yeah. So, you know, we love what we do, and we're passionate about it, and we'll do everything we can to protect it. And now that we're open for business, it's time to have some, for the fans to have some fun, because that's what makes it worth it in the end.
Well, you know, going back to when you got going, one of the things that we had talked about from one of our first conversations was a regular, you know, Dave O'Rourke selection visit. And we never actually had a chance. You had too many balls in the air, and you were learning on the go. Now I think you're ready to, you know, to start picking some winners for the crowd. And
I'll take Tom in the ninth to be in the money.
Who are we looking at?
Cartel Queen.
Cartel Queen.
Just to be in the money.
All right. A little value.
I'll prep next time for this.
All right. I'm throwing that at you. Well, you know what we'll do? We'll hit you for some of the big, big stakes.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
While we got you, give everybody, I've got to get into the, everybody's favorite watering holes and dining establishment. What are your dining pushes for everybody?
Oh, the usuals uptown. Salevo's good. Sperry's is kind of the standby. We only went out once so far. We've been so busy. I went to Cantina one night.
Oh, wow.
And it just, it's busy. So the only thing I would say is make a reservation.
There you go.
Because that was about the third stop. And then if you want, the local's always a good place to go if you just want to kind of get out of the mix.
Okay, you know what? It's funny. I drive by local all the time on the way to Roma or to Saratoga Cleaners, and I when they first opened, Tina and I went a number of times, and I can't remember the last time I went.
Yeah, it's a kind of British old
pubby style.
But it's off Broadway, so if you're looking for something that's a little more low key and you just want to grab a quick bite, that's one of my favorites.
Dave O'Rourke, everybody, president of the New York Racing Association. And I think Pat is coming to gather you maybe and heard you. But thanks for this time. I didn't expect as extensive a check-in. It's a great way to start the season.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Dave.
Right, enjoy the day. Right?
Thank you. Dave O'Rourke, everybody, and done a tremendous job in bringing a certain calm and you know, a certain continuity, to the atmosphere has been invaluable. And of course, really the person that is at the heart of everything is Pat McKenna. Pat's getting it for you. You want to wish everybody a good season. There we go. Okay. All right. I didn't think I'd have to. Tom Amos ambling in.
Since you get Tom?
We'll get Tom, yeah. We'll get everybody. Pat McKenna. I just had a tremendous session with Dave out of impromptu. I don't have to talk to him again the whole meet. Although he's gonna do handicapping spots.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What do you think?
Do you intentionally park yourself next to Horseman's credentials just so you see everyone?
Well, yes and no. I've been doing this spot probably. Dave said, "What a great spot you got." I've been here maybe what, 5-6 years.
This is 6 for me, and you've been here every year that I've been here.
Yeah, so I'm going to say it's 6 or 7. Donnie, we tried a couple. You know, I've been spread around here and there, but this is great. This is great. I can throw the table up and.
Yeah.
It's easy. What? Everything good? Everything comes.
Everything's good. Yeah.
Placid.
Yep.
Well, what? You don't. You seem for opening day. You seem like you don't have a care in the world.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, the fog is lifted. It's a sunny day. We're all set.
It's starting to burn off.
What more could you want?
No, I said to Dave, the atmosphere coming in, I mean, everybody smiling, laughing, greeting, you know, people that haven't seen each other in 2 years in most cases. And, you know, it just things all fell together with all those conversations, Pat, we had in the winter and then in the spring before Belmont. You know,
the first one that I remember, I was sitting in my car in Brooklyn.
That's right.
Because I had to get out of the one-bedroom apartment. Abby was about 2.5 years old, screaming. So I walked to the car, and those are some pretty nerve-wracking moments. I mean, that would have been, what, mid-March, late March,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah. That's about right.
I mean, certainly the thick of it, at least downstate. So that we're here, it really does, you've heard me say it, but really demonstrates how far we've come. It's great that so many people got vaccinated so that we were able to open up the doors at 100% capacity.
Well, and that, you know, that's been the biggest surprise, how we went from kind of 0 to 60 in no time at all, where, you know, you and I, you were speculating on conditions and on Excelsior Pass, and you're going to need to do this, and we don't need to do anything. I mean, everybody's kind of just, you know, everybody's coming in.
Yeah.
And of course, the gates are wide open today, right? No admission.
That's true. As long as you have your Excelsior Pass or CDC vaccination card.
Well, it set up for just... I mean, everything in place, Pat. I'll ask you the same closing question I asked Dave, uh-oh, which is your favorite places to go and eat and so forth at when you're up here.
In town?
Yeah, in and around town. Where does Andy take you out for dinner?
You know, I find myself at Sperry's pretty often. I feel like it's tried and true. Hold on, what?
Come for a photo. I need the two of you for a photo. Oh,
come on.
You're
oh, sorry. We're still on the air.
We're still on the air. You can talk all you want. There you go. That's it. See, perfect. Look at that.
I thought you were going to ask me my favorite place at the track.
Where is your favorite? When you have a minute to go watch a race or to, you know, to unwind.
The paddock is pretty hard to beat. Sometimes when I need to take a breather, I'll stroll out to the paddock, whether horses are in there or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been lucky enough to watch a bunch of races from the announcer stand, which is really fun, and I try to bring as many people as possible up there.
We should say $100 donation, yep. PDJF, I think, or is it or BCCA?
1 year, I watched the ballerina with you at the very end of the clubhouse boxes towards the 1863 Club. I think before the 1863 club was
there. That's right. And we were sitting in a box down at the end.
And we were discussing how there always seems to be a breeze down there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of
magical. That opening. There's that opening it's airy. I mean, there was a period where it was, if you were in the heat of the summer.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like August is hot like it used to be, for whatever reason. It seems like those days are behind us. I don't know why, but it could be so stifling, and at some point I started going out of the end there, and it's much more sparse except on Travers Day, I suppose, but it's really pleasant down there.
Yep.
And
always,
and it's an easy, there's a stairwell that can put you right to the paddock in 2 seconds. The nooks and crannies of Saratoga
Race
Course.
I'm trying to think about what else. You know, I was actually up here, speaking of those early days, in the spring of 2020 for almost 8 weeks. Hamlin and Ghost was a godsend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
They were doing takeout. Saratoga did a fantastic job of
adjusting.
Takeout and adjusting and all the rest of it. Yep. But adjust no more. We're back.
Just adjust your expectations to get a table at a reasonable hour. That's the only adjustment. Well, and, you know, one thing you mentioned your first child, and that was one of the things I remember you said. So it's got to be 3 years old now?
She will be four.
Four.
On August 20th. She was born Travers Week 2017. Yeah.
And I did not realize, and then I didn't see you for whatever it was, a week.
Yeah.
And then
quite the paternity leave.
Exactly. Good timing or bad timing.
I don't know. Yeah.
But are they, well, they're up here with you.
No, not yet. They're not down.
When are they coming up?
At some point in August. Yeah, I'll go back and forth a little bit, do the commute, try that this year.
Okay.
Yeah, which is fine.
Well, the extra day is a godsend.
I have a hard time imagining, you know.
You have no idea. It's crazy, just crazy. Well,
anyway.
It seems like things are absolutely idyllic. And now we got a cool breeze and we got the sun coming through, burning it off. And,
yeah, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Come on out.
Opening day at the spa.
Opening weekend.
Make it happen. Pat McKenna, everybody. PC McKenna on your Twitter. Keep in touch, and we will see you over the next 7.5 weeks.
Sounds good.
Enjoy. Best of luck to everybody.
Thanks. You too.
Pat McKenna, everybody, who's been just invaluable in keeping everybody informed as to, you know, where things were and were headed and, you know, and where they've arrived. And we have arrived at Saratoga 2021. Thank you, Leslie Knopf, helping me, as I mentioned yesterday, when Leslie visited to pay tribute to John Rotz, and she'll send me a note here and there, and the official charity for the announcer's booth, $100 donation, you spend a race with Johnny I up in the crow's nest, it goes to Best, to the Backstretch Employees Assistance Team, and actually, they've changed that. That used to be BEAT, and now it's BEST, the Backstretch Employee Service Team. And we'll certainly get visits in over the next 7 weeks with Chaplain Humberto Chavez and Nick Karras. I don't think there's anybody who works harder than Nick Karras on, you know, servicing the needs of the Backstretch employees. And speaking of Backstretch employees in general, here he is, Nicky Gaga, Nick Santagata. You ready? You all right?
Yeah, everything's good. Get on one day.
Well, yeah, without a doubt. But also the Colt, the Colt's back.
Yeah, yeah.
He's back.
On. Gary, no,
oh, no? Who are you riding for?
Well, Kelly's Green. But yeah.
Oh, Kelly's great.
Everything good?
Yeah, we're set. Opening day. Come
all
on.
Right.
All right.
Good to see you.
Nick Santagata, everybody. And it is Thursday. You know what? He missed the chance with Tony Black. Potentially, we'll get a quick call in probably with Tony this morning as well, coming up toward the top of the hour. But anyway, Nick Karras and Chaplain Chavez just do an unbelievable job handling the needs of the Backstretch community. And I was taken a little bit by surprise yesterday when I saw the piece of news about the H-2B visas and a threat that we're gonna have to visit next week. We'll probably reach out for Will Velli and for Eric Hamelbeck. And NTRA is as well. NTRA has some real concerns about some of the verbiage in the bill. Essentially adding mechanics, difficult mechanisms that would inhibit the H-2B visa issues, and it's brutal because, in fact, I was talking with Mike Trombetti just yesterday, and Mike was talking about how difficult it's been he says there's just no help, and there had been the expectation, not just the expectation, but in fact the reality that there was going to be additional H-2B visas available from the start of the year, from the start of the Biden administration, and now in this bill, there's that could, cause a a problem, could cause restrictions in bringing help in and you know, adding to the employment base on backstretches and farms. I mean, this is it's a little alarming, and I that was the first I had heard of it. So anyway, we'll deal with that when we get a chance next week. Once a lot of this frenzy of racing is over. Let's do this, top of the hour, and good, probably a perfect time to take a quick break. Let's do that, Case. And we got Seth Merrow coming. We've got Dave Grenning coming and more. And we've got to make a call out when we come back. We'll get Dick Powell in. We'll get Dick's opening day thoughts, as well as putting a bow on the Hong Kong Jockey Club season, which ended yesterday. Back after this to Saratoga on opening day. Sirius XM at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians